Welcome to the Jolly Sailor Master. I'm your host, Jochen Heusner, and today I'm talking to Janine, the founder of Wanderlust, which is all about exploring Aussie wine regions and started out as a platform on wine tasting events featuring wines from across Australia and the world. Then came COVID, and like for the rest of us, all changed. As a result, Janine launched her excellent podcast, Wanderlust, and we'll be talking about this and much more on today's episode. So, without further ado, Janine, hi. Good morning, or I should say good afternoon. Your time. Thanks for joining me. How are things in Australia right now?
It's pretty good in Australia. Well, half of the country are in lockdown, but the other half are enjoying it, I'm sure. I'm in the half in lockdown at the moment. So hopefully very shortly I'll be out, though, back to delivering events and getting out and traveling around again.
Good stuff. Yeah, let's really hopefully we'll soon be out of the tunnel, though I'm a little bit concerned with winter around the corner here in Europe. Well, things might get worse, but you never know. So, and wine events have started to pick up again. That's a great thing. Again, thank you so much for joining me today. I wanted to talk a little bit about Wanderlust, about yourself, and of course, since I have you here with me, a little bit of Australia. Why don't we start with you telling me a little bit about yourself and how you started Wanderlust, what got the whole ball rolling?
Sure. Well, I grew up on the Gold Coast, which is sort of towards the north part of Australia. So it's fantastic beaches. It's like the tourist place of Australia to take your family to, full of theme parks and good weather and the beach. So there wasn't much wine around there, but when I've been on my travels abroad, I kind of got a little bit interested in wine. And as I got a bit older and moved further south into Sydney, and I would visit places like the Hunter Valley, I became a little bit more interested. And then about a decade ago, I moved to Canberra with a job. And Canberra is the capital city of Australia, but it's only about 500,000 people. So it's a small city. It's about in between Sydney and Melbourne. But the city is surrounded by wineries, which I don't think the average Australian knows, let alone people, you know, where you live. So I would spend a lot of my weekends going out, visiting the wineries, and I learned a bit more about wine. So about maybe 3 years ago in 2019, I started thinking about how I could get a bit more, I guess, job satisfaction, which I wasn't getting in my job. And I started Wanderlust. So I love travel. I love wine. So I decided to merge them together. So instead of traveling to wine, I would bring the wine from all over Australia and other parts of the world to my events and have some events to showcase that. So that's how it started. Yeah. And then more recently, I've branched out into podcasts and some collaborations, like with a local bottle shop. I've got a box of wines featuring the wines from the winemakers that I spoke to on my podcast that can be mailed out, and a little bit of merchandise. So, you know, you branch into lots of different things, but yes, mainly events is where it all started.
Yeah. I would imagine it's like, especially for someone like you and working with wine events, that must have been a very stressful time, because from one moment to the next, everything stopped, I suppose, in Australia too. How did that feel? I mean, well, that must have been horrible.
Well, 2020, I think the interesting thing within Australia, I think that because we could all see it in China, we heard about this, and then it was in Europe, like Italy. I remember that in the media and the UK. And I think in Australia, we've sort of like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And it sort of took a little bit of time, and then all of a sudden, it was like late March 2020, we all just, everything kind of stopped and everyone had to stay at home, which I'm sure is not an unusual thing all around the world. Where I live in Canberra was not particularly affected. We were in lockdown for about 6 weeks. I've still maintained my day job, so I could return to the office in about June, I think it was. My son went back to school, and it wasn't until August recently that we were affected again. So we had a good year or more living fairly normally. We were all, I think, being a little bit cautious, but not too bad. I was still being able to travel, and I did a few trips. I went up to the top of Australia and also to the bottom of Australia in Tasmania during that time. But yeah, in the last couple of months, it's all stopped again. So it is a crazy time all over the world, though, really, isn't it? So that's, I think, the hardest thing with events is at the moment just going with the flow. And I guess curious how you guys are going, because we're about to open up here and I'll be preparing events. Like, how do you live with COVID in the future? Like, that's the big question. So how things have changed. Like, have you noticed changes with the wine events now that you've been to recently compared to 2 years ago?
Well, obviously everything is very strict and everything follows the rules as to distancing and limitations with regard to the amount of people that can attend and stuff like that. So it's different, but you can really feel the relief. I at least get the impression that people feel that they can meet in person again, because, and I think that's what I meant, is like with wine events, it's like, I mean, we've seen it last year and everything sprung up, and I've had a very interesting conversation in a previous podcast with an expert on the topic. And you've seen so many virtual events, which in a way is great, because now finally you can like hear from people that were before very far away. But it's not the same. It's like, no, you really need to have a glass of wine in your hand and you need to share it with people in person, I think. So I'm very, very happy that things are picking up, and hopefully it stays like that. But yes, there is a change and people are still very concerned, especially with winter coming around now. It's like, it's going to be interesting to see whether we can actually go ahead with everything. So it has changed, but like I always say, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. It's like
one world has just a new normal
to digital in an extent, and we just make sure we use both things. But for you too, obviously, when your main activity stopped, you had to branch out and you got into podcasting. What was that like?
So I had been marinating on the idea for a little while. So I guess that's where COVID did give me a little bit of space to finally delve in. The reason it came about was that a few years ago we were going to, my husband's Canadian, so we're going back to Canada to see his family, and we thought we'd stop in Napa Valley and Sonoma to check that out on the way. And I was listening to podcasts, trying to get a feel of the region and where I should stay or what should I do there. And the only things I could find were interviews with winemakers, which was really interesting, but didn't kind of give me that extra tourist information that I was after. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where the idea for my podcast came about, is to try and provide sort of like a tourist tool for people wanting to visit Australian wine regions. So I did a podcast course over a weekend and got some advice on a microphone. And then just went for it. But I keep thinking about the English saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I'd like to say that you can. So I do it all on my own, I think same as you do. And it is a bit of a, you know, an experience to put it all together and get the music and contact people. But it's been great. I've traveled to Tasmania. And like I said, I come from Queensland, so there's some wine regions a couple of hours from where I grew up. So I visited there, and I visited a bunch up and down the East Coast. I've got a lot more to do, though, but I've got about 14 odd episodes out there of different regions that people can check out and learn a little bit about not only what the flagship varieties are and talking to the winemakers, but also some other tourist activities that you can do in the region, particularly if you have to occupy little kids like both you and I have to do. So it's always something you have to consider, isn't it? You can't just swan around the cellar doors and enjoy wine. You have to, you know, a bit of compromise, do something for mum and dad, and then do something for the kids as well.
What's like the best like combo where you say like, okay, this really works out for kids, husband, and you as a wine lover? What's What was the experience?
You know, every region does have stuff for kids as well. Some regions are tailored a little bit more for that premium, sophisticated sort of experience, and maybe not as much. But, I mean, where I am in Canberra, it's full of all the museums. There's a big science museum, and the wineries are only about 30 minutes away. So you can do all of that. You've got that little sort of city holiday getaway as well as the wineries on the doorstep. But another great one, I spoke to the people in McLaren Vale, and she talked about there was a website called like Adelaide Kids, and she talked about all these cellar doors that had all these great things for kids. So some had sand pits and other play equipment right at the cellar doors as well. So mum and dad can do their wine tasting, get a glass of wine, and the kids are just playing outside. So there's that. I went to another one in Port Macquarie. It's a very small wine region called Hastings River. And they have a big maze that the son planted out the back of the winery. So you can, the kids, that would occupy them for quite a while getting out of that while mum and dad try some wine there. And in that region, because it's quite humid, they've got some very unusual varieties that you don't see in other places very much. So yeah, so that keeps everybody happy.
Well, that's amazing, because like I think we still have to go a long way to get there, because like I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. And it's like, it's obviously like you're saying, it really is a bit of a challenge. And it's like wherever I go, I always have to think, it's like, okay, how do we manage that, and how do we combine like the different things that we want to do. So I think it's like in Australia you're very advanced when it comes to this kind of tourism. But you know, tourism, I mean, has been becoming more and more important here as well. As I said, I think Australia, I've been to Australia a decade ago, so they already were like, it's a fantastic experience. But how do you think this is going to evolve, especially now after COVID? Do you think everything will go back to normal, and what is it going to be like?
Yeah, the new normal. I think what you were saying about restrictions will be a big one, about how many people are limited into venues. I mean, that was what has happened in the past year. Even though we were open, they still had, I think that, well, I guess it depends on the venue. We did sort of go back to normal with how many people could go into venues. But I think it might be a while now till that returns. So I think just the numbers of people going to places, but a lot of the wineries have lovely outdoor areas as well. So there might be a lot more outdoor tastings, because that seems to be, I'm far from an expert at all, but the inside and the ventilation, and that seems to be the main issue with the transmissions. So having more outdoor dining and outdoor tastings and things like that might be the way forward. Particularly, I mean, we're going into summertime, so that will be a little bit easier to handle here. I know with the events that I've got planned coming up, there's a boat on the lake in the middle of our town, our city, that I'm renting to have our wine tasting events on that. And it's got big windows and the top deck's wide open. So it's feels a little bit safer, I guess, if that could be the phrasing. I guess watch this space and just be careful going forward. And I guess there'll be lots of monitoring of how things will be proceeding.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see, but moving away from COVID, it's like, I always have the feeling I always talk too much about COVID. What else is going on in Australia? And it's like, I'm not, don't want to talk about politics in China and stuff like that, because I really do understand too little to make a sophisticated judgment about it. So, but like, obviously it's like one topic that always is very dominant is climate change, and I think you guys down there in Australia are affected very much. So last year you had the bushfires, like this year I think you had a lot of rain, is that correct?
Yes. So so it was the end of 2019, so we come into our summer in sort of September, spring, and then summer hits in December. So that summer of 2019 going into 2020 was where the black, it's called Black Summer, and so many bushfires, like everybody had the app on their phone telling you where bushfires were. And I've never seen something like that, where there's just the little fire icons like all over the place. Like, and we, like where I live had the highest smoke, polluted sky, like polluted air in the whole world one day. Like it was just out of control. Like apparently if it hits over, you know, a certain limit, like 1300, it's sort of, they don't calculate it. And now it was like thousands. Like it was just awful. It was really, really awful. And there was that New Year's Eve where only about an hour and a half from where I live at the beach, all the towns are getting evacuated because the fires were ripping through there. It was all like, it's so traumatizing. And I wasn't even in the fires. I was just around all the smoke and everything. But so many vintages got wiped out everywhere from like way up north in Queensland, which the probably the most northern wine regions are, all the way down the coast, which is about 2,000 kilometres of area. Like a lot of that was affected by bushfires and smoke taint, and then even Tasmania. So I know that in 2020, according to Wine Australia, it was like the lowest vintage or lowest yield of wine production in about 13 years because of all the smoke taint, and lots of wineries didn't produce wine. There was also the drought before that affected a lot of regions. But over the last year, it's been a lot wetter. So I know that I've spoken to some winemakers and the yield was still a little bit lower than it had been in the past because the grapes were recovering. But it was looking really good, and I know that a lot of wine regions had a pretty good 2021. So it's great to see local wineries producing wine again, because it's been a very hard year with, one, there's, you know, losing their vintage. Two, tourism was affected because of COVID. And then three, the China thing, which I don't want to go to because I don't know anything about it either. But so it's been a very hard couple of years. So I guess my podcast is also to get people out there and encourage them to travel to their local wine regions when they can, and go for a holiday and drink some local wines.
Yeah, and it's like Australia is like this amazing place. And as I said before, it's like, at least my experience, it's always been like with Australians being very open, very friendly. And the few experiences I had down there in wineries was like amazing, because it was just so much fun. So I really hope things going to pick up. Obviously, it's like I'm fully aware that when I say like, what are things like in Australia and everything, it's like we're talking about like a massive country. We're talking about a continent. And so like things are very diverse. And I've only had the pleasure of being in only a few wine places in Australia. I've traveled all around, but like, it's like there's so much ground to cover. And it's like, this is like, it doesn't do Australia justice when I talk of it as a whole.
You're right. I've got a picture and it's a map of Europe, and then there's the map of Australia superimposed over the top, and it's almost the same size as Europe. Like it is huge. And there's 65 different wine geographical indications of regions and subregions. So I think people, you know, the average Australian, even like Barossa and South Australia and Hunter Valley, like they might know some of these big names, but they wouldn't know that there's 65 of them. So it's there's lots and lots of regions that even the average person here doesn't know about. So when you come for a holiday, yeah, there's tons and tons of places to visit, and lots of them are much smaller, and that's probably where you get those more family-friendly ones because they're catering to different audiences, and also wine regions that have popped up near other tourist areas and things like that. So, yeah, like if you drive Sydney to Melbourne, you could probably pass through about 8 different regions without going too far off the main highway, for example.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a tricky question, obviously, but like, as I said before, it's like for us, it's for you, vice versa, it's a long way away. And if I had to pick one region and one wine to taste, or one wine, so it's like Which one would you recommend?
Oh, that's the hard part, because part of me is thinking historically and thinking, you know, if you come to all that way, then maybe go to the most famous region, which mm-hmm. would be somewhere like your Barossa Valley or your McLaren Vale, because they're one of the oldest in Australia, and have like your Grange. If you can only have one wine, why not spend like $1,200 on the best? Mm. But but if you, like you said, like that, I think that's the thing with having the kids. It's like if you're trying to occupy people, if you're just coming for the historic reasons, then I would say, yeah, go to the, sorry, if you're coming for just the wine, then I would say you'd have to visit the historic regions and compare, and then you can compare those to back in Europe, because it is new world. So even though our historic ones are maybe 150 years old, those towns, but I think some of the vines could even be older than some in Europe because of the, I'm not going to say it properly, the phloxa.
Phloxa is like wiped everything out.
Wiped everything out in France and that. So some of the vines here are a bit older than those in Europe even, so because we didn't have that.
I read about like vines in that region. I think that's like more than 100 years old, which is something that's rather rare over here. And it's like, I mean, it's like obviously it's a bit after phylloxera, it's like start replanting, and sometimes they do, but like obviously there are like so many changes. That's something that you would find in Australia, and maybe you don't expect it, but still it's like very impressive.
Yeah.
So, but like I fully appreciate that. That's not a fair question to ask, but since I have you here,
if you want some hidden gems, like I'm good at those ones, because people know the big ones. And and I mean, you can always go to those I think there's a great tour company, might be called Australian Wine Experiences, that will give you those 5-star experiences if you're wanting to go to the really sophisticated and prestigious cellar doors. But some hidden gems, like I was talking about around where I live, one day you can be in Parliament House and the next day you could be at like the winemaker that was the best winemaker in Australia by Wine Selectors about 3 years ago at Clonakilla, which is just in Canberra. We're known for our Shiraz Viognier, so that whole Rhone region that you were talking about before, we a lot of the wineries here base their red wines on that region. So that's quite good. And only an hour and a half north from where I am is a beautiful town called Berrimah, and it's like one of the oldest towns outside of Sydney. And so you can go, so this is a great place for the kids. You can go to the Berrimah jail and they show you all the convict sort of stuff that was there, because you probably know that Australia was a convict settlement. They've got another historic house that has a maze for the kids to play, another maze. But then it's got some beautiful wines, and they're really known for their Riesling and Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. That's only about an hour and a half up the road. And so it's a beautiful, quaint, historic little villages with all the wine regions around it. So that's a lovely area. And that's halfway between Canberra and Sydney, so about an hour and a half outside of Sydney as well. So see the Opera House, pop down there, and then come and hit the capital city.
That's great. With COVID hopefully being the restrictions going to be easing hopefully sometime soon, and we can go back to traveling more or less the same way it was before. I know you are a traveling person, you've been to several interesting places, several wine regions around the world. Do you have a favorite, or it's like let me put that question
it's
differently,
hard,
because like it's obviously it's like impossible to answer for most people. But what's on your mind? What's your plans? If you could like jump on a plane tomorrow, or it's like on a train, on a car, or something, like where would you like to go, and what wine would you like to taste?
I will have to get some more advice from you, because Italy is next on the list. Actually, I'm really keen to visit the Piedmont region. I've heard about like the Barolo, and I'm also really want to go to, is it called the Prosecco region just north of Venice? And check that out. That's those two places are definitely on the list. I haven't done the Tuscany and Chianti and all that yet either. So I could make a very nice holiday in Italy, I think, seeing a few of those places. But 2023 is when that's on my list, if the world is letting me go again.
Yeah.
But some of the places that I've had fantastic experiences in before that I really rated was I did a fantastic cycling tour around Burgundy. So it started in Beaune, and then we went to like Neuilly-Saint-Georges and Chagny, and went through Mauri-Saint-Denis. And so just traveled around for about 5 days, cycling about 30 to 40 kilometers a day. And it was one of those fantastic tours where they moved our luggage each day and we just jumped on the bike, and they gave us cellar door suggestions that were kind to people speaking only English, which I struggle enough with English, let alone speaking French. But so that was a wonderful, wonderful trip. And the other one would be in 2019, I went to Europe and went to Spain and spent a few days in San Sebastian, which is just a beautiful city. And then about an hour and a half outside of there to the Rioja area, and stayed in a beautiful little medieval village called LaGuardia. Had big, like it was a walled village. And inside there was a few cellar doors that you can visit, had big concrete tanks where they keep the wine. But outside, literally not even a 5 minute drive, was the beautiful Marquis de Riscal, which is like, it was Frank Gehry, the architect, designed it. He's designed the Guggenheim in New York and Bilbao. My pronunciation's awful, sorry. And that was a stunning building. And it's like all these little villages of historic villages, but then this amazing modern art architecture right in the middle of it. And then the other one was the Yesos, Y-S-I-O-S, and it looked like had a big pleated roof that looked like big waves in front of the mountains. It was stunning. So that was just beautiful. And you know, I am a fan of Tempranillo as well, so that helped. So yeah, it was great.
Well, it sounds amazing. You've just given me a couple of ideas, and then hopefully, as you said, things will go back to some kind of normal, new normal. Let's see what it's going to be like, but I'm really looking forward to it. Janine, I appreciate it's getting late down under, but I want to say thank you so much for joining me today. It was great talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
And that's all for today. As always, you will find more information about this episode on the show notes. And if you want to find out more about Janine and Wanderlust, go to www.wanderlust.com.au. Thanks for listening.